And my goal, I mean, for my kids and for my family and the people that I work with, you have God-given talents. You have God-given abilities that you are given. And like you said, it takes all kinds. And using those to your utmost, highest potential every day, that's a responsibility that we have with those gifts. So identifying what those are and how you solve problems, that's how I do it. That's one part of the mind, PJ. I don't deal with personalities. I just deal with conation. So when you know how you solve problems, then solve problems your way.
Welcome to Chasing Leviathan. I'm your host, PJ Weary, and today I have Gail Swift with me. Gail Swift is a mom and president and owner of Plans to Prosper Coaching. She's a Colby certified professional coach, and she focuses on small, intimate coaching sessions where she helps adults, business owners, and especially kids figure out what they want in life. And so happy to have you here today. We're going to talk about how can good education and coaching create a better future generation. I'm just glancing at your website. It's very clear, even talking to you, that's your passion. Gail, wonderful to have you on.
Thank you so much, PJ. It is great to be here as well.
So talk to me a little bit before we get into the meat of the question. Talk to me a little bit about how this became your passion, or how you discovered that that was your passion to inspire people to figure out what they want to do in life. You know, even as I'm looking at your site, it's all based on finding, helping people find and follow what they're meant to do in life.
Generally speaking, I would think a passion or desire comes from the exact opposite of what you experienced as a youth. And that was the case for me. When I was on the playground and I would run up to a group and I would say something kind of crazy or zany, people would look at me like, I had four heads, or she's a little off her rocker. And so very early on, I recognized that maybe my thoughts were a little unorthodox or different than mainstream. And so I started not saying anything because I didn't want to get looked at like I had four heads. So I would start to say things a little more in line and a little more appropriate. And that was the first time that I would say, started to manually alter or try to the way that I naturally was.
Got you. And so when you're talking about how did that translate into what you're doing now? How did that, you're like, I want to become what I'm meant to be, and I want to do that for other people.
Right. In college was the first time that I experienced my gifts without hindrance. I changed my major to speech and theater kind of late. And one of my projects was to write and direct a play. Well, I wrote the play, and when I was getting my actors in place, I realized that when they were in place and I was directing them, the questions that I would ask my friends or students to bring out the best character in them was in me.
Yeah.
So that crazy talent that I tried to make different at the beginning when I was maybe 10 years old has resurrected itself in a new way. And I felt free to ask the questions to bring out the ability in the actors. I got great grades after that in my major. I loved it. And so I wanted to stage manage shows, PJ, like, this is my jam. I can do this. I love theater. And I went home and I said, hey, Dad, I am going to be a stage manager. And he said, that's great, Punkin. How are you going to make any money?
Yeah. And
at the time,
classic dad question. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah, totally get it. I didn't know. I didn't know how to answer him. But in my gut, PJ, I knew that I could, but I didn't know how to articulate that. So to add to it, my my dad said, well, sales is a great opportunity and maybe you can do sales, like go into sales. And I was like, how can I combine theater and sales? And I went into television. I'm like, all right, I can do that.
Yeah.
Before I left for my first television gig, my mom said to me, hey, Gail, we're going to get you a test and we're going to really see how you work because it has always been a little different. And I'm going to actually test this. There's a woman called Kathy Colby who's developed a test and she is going to test you. And so I took it and I got the results and I didn't know what they meant. So I went and heard the results from this woman.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was going to say, yeah. You're just like, and then you just went off to the television interview. Okay.
No. She told me, she's like, you know what, Gail, you are last minute. You do things when you're under pressure so well. You don't even plan. Don't even bother to plan because you're going to do it last minute anyway. I was like, wow, really? Could you tell all my teachers that? Like, this is a legitimate thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of, I mean, who tells a kid to do everything last minute? I felt like I was like, the gates were opened and it's nirvana and just all these lights. Like, this is great. I'm free. So she was the first one who told me how I worked when free to be myself. And that was amazing. And then I went off to my television job. Yeah.
Awesome. And that has to be so freeing. And that's, you know, something I wanted to ask. So when you're talking about how does understanding your own aptitudes and giftings help you in life? So obviously it's freeing. What are some other, I mean, obviously this is kind of your wheelhouse, right? Mm-hmm. So how does that help you? What are the benefits of that? What are the benefits of taking, you know, this Colby test? And if you eventually, I'd love to ask you, like, explain it to me. Give me that whole idea.
Right. And so this was in 1991, PJ, where I knew this information, but it was a one and done. Like, it was a meeting and that I didn't get a chance. I didn't know how to practice what I heard or what I know. So throughout my career and what I was doing in life, I would literally shove my Colby report across the table to my boss and say, make it go away. Like, make my pain go away. And they're looking, they said, what is this? I'm like, this is how I work. So I want all my business to be like this. And they're like, Gail, I don't know what this is. So I didn't know how to articulate.
Yes. Yeah.
What it meant and what I needed. I didn't understand why I was in cognitive stress at all. And so what I do very specifically now is I teach kids and young adults and adults to advocate for how they work, to fight for their need to solve problems their way. So I became a Colby consultant in 2016. The youth advocate position to be able to work with youth was available a few years after that. Of course, that's been my dream to work with younger people, and I do. And I got certified for that a couple of years later. And how that makes a difference in my life, I'm just going to start small, PJ. So my husband, let's just say he is a detail guy. He's into the details. So when we were in college, I would say, hey, rapid fire, like 20 questions as fast as possible. And I would start asking him questions and he looked like he was Velcroed to the wall. And I said, isn't this fun? And he said, no, it's not fun. Not for him. And I was like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you answering these questions quickly? Of course, attaching a good or bad assessment to that.
Right.
Right. And it's not good or bad. So he would always say, it depends. It depends. And I would say, on what? What does it depend on? Make up your mind.
He's like, you didn't give me enough information because he wants the details.
That's right. It. That's it. And I didn't know that, PJ. You are so right. I did not know that.
Well, it just sounds very familiar. I'm the coder. My wife is the designer for our digital agency. So may have had these conversations before.
So who is the detail person between you guys?
I'm the coder. And she's like, well, can you just make this happen? And I'm like, well, how do you want it to happen? And I'm like, yeah. Yes, that would be me. Yes. Yeah. No, this is a very familiar story.
Yes.
I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. The dishwasher broke a few months ago and I was like, let's just get a Bosch top of the line, like call it good in 5 minutes. I made that decision. And he said, well, let's look at Consumer Reports and the you totally get it. And the reviews. I said, I'm bored. Just let me know when it's here.
Yep. Yep.
But what I realized is I was making a judgment on his natural ability. Hmm. And instead of making a judgment, now I go with it. So now he is the detail guy for a car, an appliance, the school, the medical. Like, if that's his lane, for the love of all that's holy, go with the lane instead of against it.
Yeah.
Like I have a phrase, petting a cat backwards. Cats don't like to be pet backwards. They jump off wherever they are. And so when I go against the natural grain, or anyone does, it's uncomfortable and it causes them stress over time.
Yeah. And I love, you know, and you mentioned earlier, you're a Christian as well. My perspective, my point of view is I'm a devout Christian. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm not exactly a detail person, but I have to get to the end of a conversation. I'm a very dialogue-oriented person. So I want to, like, if I start on something, I'm going to finish it to the end until I have everything figured out to the point where I can act on it. And I'm very truth-oriented. And this is compounded by the fact that I'm come from a New England family. So for me, you know, saying, hey, you're a butthead or that kind of stuff, like you're being a jerk to me. I want people to say that to me. I want to say that to people. Like my family talks that way. You know, it's like, what are you doing? You know, and mm-hmm. I don't feel threatened by that. I feel loved by that. and mm-hmm. so when we talk about, I grew up in a situation where there was a huge theological shift at the college my dad was working at. And I grew up 10th grade in high school through grad school there. And it was 9 years. And literally, it was a formative experience for me because I regularly would talk to people till 2 a.m. about theological things.
Wow.
And that's why I'm doing this, right? I just love talking to people. I loved every second of it. And I got confused because other people would just get tired, right? They would just get tired talking about it. And I was like, but it's the truth. And like, obviously the truth matters. What's wrong with you, right? Adding that good, bad. Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure I'm tracking with you. But I think like, this is what you're talking about, right? Like that I was, one of the best things that happened to me was discovering kind of the theology of the body in Christ. And that's the way I came to it. And it sounds like this is the fact that you can do an assessment, but that idea of like, oh, you like some people are the hands. And some yes. people are the brain. Some people are, you know, the Bible talks about the different parts of the body and everyone has different roles. And I realized, I was like, I mean, I am not a handy person. If the world was made, like was just full of PJs, then every car would be broken. Right. And so,
yes.
Yeah. So, and just, so for me, like this resonates a lot because that was an important lesson that one, it's okay for me to pursue the truth like I do. And two, it's okay that other people don't. Am I tracking with what you're saying?
No, you are totally tracking. You're totally tracking. And my goal, I mean, for my kids and for my family and the people that I work with, you have God-given talents. You have God-given abilities that you are given. And like you said, it takes all kinds. And using those to your utmost highest potential every day, that's a responsibility that we have with those gifts. So identifying what those are and how you solve problems, that's how I do it. That's one part of the mind, PJ. I don't deal with personalities. I just deal with conation. So when you know how you solve problems, then solve problems your way. The trouble comes in is when we take on other people's ways of doing things because we think they're better. And there's a difference between not knowing and thinking that that person that way is better than yours, because it's not. So you can, when as soon as you identify how you solve problems, and I can very quickly go through the four modes, you're going to have a need for detail or you're not. You will have a need for systems and organization or you won't. You can shortcut, which is the other end of the spectrum. You can also have a need for risk and uncertainty or stability. And then the last part is, like you said, you're not a hands-on person. Thank goodness there are people that are.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Because
my wife
is
like that. And that's where
hands-on.
So when we talk about websites, she handles the execution of websites. I handle setting it up.
Okay. And the back end stuff.
Because, yeah. And like all the systems for it, all that kind of stuff. And so for her, like when she finishes a website, she feels this immense source of satisfaction. She loves it. Finishing a project is just the best thing ever for her. I'm sure this is familiar to you. For me, I'm just like, oh my goodness, thank goodness. I'm so glad that's over. You know, like I get no satisfaction from finishing something. I get satisfaction for thinking through until I have the answer. And
okay.
So we really do match well, like in terms of like our business stuff. So you've talked a little bit through it. Could you even give me like a mini Colby assessment, even based on what I'm saying, or do you have like a set of questions? I'm not trying to get like free coaching here.
No, I just think
it might be helpful for the audience even understand what you do.
I can, you know, it's funny. No, because that would be guessing and I'm wrong. Like I've guessed with my friends and family and I'm wrong. They get a kick out of how wrong I am because no one is in your head but you, PJ. So it's twofold. You're born with a set of instincts, and instincts on their own are subconscious. You can't measure them until you can. And you measure them by putting them into a state of having to decide. So the 36 question forced choice assessment is most likely, least likely. And it puts you into a state of having to make a decision on how you're going to solve the problem. And when that happens, out comes a 4-digit number. The only difference, and it's like 1 through 10 in each of the four modes.
Okay.
So the only difference between a 1 and a 10 is time spent in that mode.
Oh, interesting.
That's it, is time. Time is the differentiating factor. So I can give you examples of extremes. My son, Noah, who has an engineer cybersecurity kind of mindset. The second line of the Colby is blue. It's called follow through. This is your need for systems and organization. I don't have this need. I shortcut. I skip steps. I cut through red tape. I have piles so I can see things out in front of where they are. And he doesn't. So when he was little, this is how it showed up. He's going to put together a Lego before fourth grade school starts. And I'm like, okay, buddy, time to go to school. No, need to finish the Lego. I'm like, just drop it. So I didn't know this yet, but I would say just leave it. So he's born with a need to finish what he starts.
Yep.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes. Yeah, it does. Yeah. No, it's very... And that's honestly why I have done much better as a business owner than as an employee, because even like if I don't have the big picture, and maybe this is slightly different, even that I can either like I can be a robot and just do exactly what someone tells me, but I have a very hard time making decisions that would make me a good employee without the complete picture. Mm-hmm. But if I have the complete picture, I can pretty much fix all of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Noah will ask questions like, what's the worst case scenario? We're going, what is it when you have a boat, like a thing behind a boat, parasailing? Has anyone died? how long has the driver been doing this? What's the weather going to be like? How many people are going after me? How many times has he done this? And I'm like, good. So I started to judge. Like, yeah. Why are you so gloom and doom? So I'm attaching an affective response to a conative trait that he is born with and can't change over time.
Okay. And you've used that word a couple times. What's conative and how do you spell it?
C-O-N-A-T-I-V-E.
Conative is two N's.
One is conative. One N.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It was close. I wrote it down and I got it off by one end. There we go. Awesome. What's conative?
Conative is the third part of the mind. It's been around since Aristotle and Plato and Socrates. And the only reason it hasn't been talked about too much is because no one's identified how to measure instincts until Kathy Colby did in 1987.
Got it.
So that's right. And so personality is affective or the feel part of it. And then the cognitive is the think or the, like the IQ, the reason, how long you've been around. So those are the three parts of the mind. And I just isolate the one, the doing part, which is your instincts. And she's tested identical twins. They're different. This isn't hereditary. It doesn't come from your parents. It's just unique to you, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
And that's, I noticed on your thing that, on your website, that the Colby assessment it's really easy to fold it into a personality quiz, right? Like a lot of people are like, oh, it's, my wife, talks about it with her friends on Instagram.
There's Enneagram.
The Enneagram. Yeah. Like, and I saw it and immediately I thought of the Enneagram because that's what we're familiar with. And right. Even you mentioning these three different parts, can you explain a little bit more? Obviously, you touched on it just now, but is there more that you can give on the difference between a personality quiz and this?
Sure. Yeah. The Enneagram is the what, and the Colby is the how.
Okay.
So what you care about and how you're going to do what you care about.
Got it. So a personality quiz actually would work well in tandem with this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very much so. Yes.
That's really cool. Yeah. So how you problem solve, and a lot of times people will use personality quizzes for that, but it's not the same thing. And I understand where, what you mean by that. Yeah.
That's rare. Cause not a lot of people do. So that's pretty good.
Well, it is true. You could have people who really care, like extroverts still solve things different ways,
mm-hmm.
right? Introverts solve things different ways. And that's a common personality trait. But when you talk about you can have introverts who are artists. I am not visually gifted. I am very verbally gifted. Right. And so just because, I recharge by being by myself doesn't mean that I'm a good painter. You know what I mean?
Like, sure.
Yeah, it's like absolutely. All sorts of different, anyways, I digress.
Yeah, no, so, you're right.
So talk me through, you have four different dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And you just mentioned, what was the, it's the blue one.
Mm-hmm. That's the second one. So the red one is, do you want me to go through them?
Yeah.
Okay. So the red one is the red one. The first one is fact finder. It's the details. It is your need for details. And my husband has a need for details and my youngest son does not. Mm-hmm. 70% of the teachers that are teaching have a need for the details.
Got it.
Right.
And then what's the opposite side of that? You just don't need details
you don't need as many details to make the best decision for you. So my son he's a two in this out of 10, 1 through 10, he's a two. And he will just blurt. He'll just come in to wherever he's at. I also call it an appropriateness stick. Because
got it.
Bottom end of the fact finder will send thank you cards. They'll be appropriate. They'll dress appropriate. Like they'll do their traits and characteristics associated with that conative behavior. And then on the up, like one, two, three, he's a two. So he will get minimal information and then make a decision. He doesn't need a plethora of information.
Yeah. My wife is a very gifted administrator and she will just... like she actually, and she might even deny this. I don't think she would. I think she'd just be like, yeah, it's true. She likes writing office manuals. She's always been the person who does it. And like, she likes doing taxes. Like, I did taxes. Like, I was an adult, and then like we got married, and I was like, she's like, oh, I don't mind doing them. That I kind of like it. And I was like,
you're
welcome.
There you go. Right. Like, exactly.
I know. And that's obviously, she loves getting in the weeds like that. And that's really interesting. And that, so, and the second one is organization systems completeness.
You need to finish what you start. It's called follow through. It's blue. And if you are in the 7 through 10 category, you need to finish what you start. So when the grill came to the house and Noah wanted to put it together, he's my older son. He's the only one in the house, PJ, that needs to finish anything he starts. So when he said, hey, mom and dad, can I put the grill together? What parent in their right mind is going to let an 11-year-old put together a gas grill? Well, one crazy mom that knows the Colby score of her son, because I know that he'll finish it.
Yep.
And so when my husband's like, he's 11, I'm like, yeah, it's not based on age. Age has nothing to do with it. He has an innate ability to finish it.
Yep.
He's like, I trust you, Gail. Okay. So he went back to work, and Noah was out there with hot mitts in August. It was 100 and who cares at that point. And from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., he put the grill together. And if it weren't for his Colby score, I would never, ever, ever have let him. Does that make sense?
No, yeah. Like, I mean, I've seen this with even just my two boys at 3 and 6.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I have not done a Colby assessment, but like, I think everyone intuitively understands that people are different. Mm-hmm. One of the first things that you mentioned, I think, is really powerful, is not necessarily attaching, like, some differences are obviously good and bad, right? Like, I mean, you know, like if someone's lying, cheating, stealing, like,
sure,
but,
yes,
but a lot of, right. That's like a no brainer. But when we talk about, gifting and that sort of thing, not attaching, it's very important not to attach the good and bad. And that's like one of the most important things to learn as soon as you have multiple kids, even just like your first kid, because your first kid's going to be different from you.
Yes.
And so, my youngest is very tactile and he loves pushing himself and he is super destructive. But I have found through experimentation, he's 3, so I don't know if the Colby assessment works on 3-year-olds.
It does. I have
I
have a bag of toys. Yeah, it's a bag of toys that he plays with.
But he does better the more responsibility I give him. He is more careful. He just wants to do something and he wants to be very involved with it. And if I don't give him something, the worst thing I can do is not have something for him to do. Because then he will find something and he will try and figure it out on his own, which generally like ends poorly, right? Because he's 3 years old. So, he helps me cook. He stands on a step stool and he stirs eggs, and I've shown him that it's hot, and he puts his hand over it at the appropriate distance and goes, it's hot. And he doesn't touch the burning stove. And that was like, I mean, the first time I did that, don't have a Colby assessment score. He just really wanted to, I was like, well, let's see what happens. I had him stand up there and I was like, you know, I'm like 6 inches from him, like ready to grab his hand.
Perfect.
And he was just like, it was one of the first times I saw him not destroy something. So obviously I don't know what that is, but he has some kind of,
you're going with it. Like, you're paying attention to it and you're going with it. Has he grabbed the knife yet? Is he trying to grab a sharp knife?
That's all the time. Yeah.
Okay, my son did that at 2.
Yes.
Teach him how to use it.
Yes.
He keeps grabbing it. So one day I just said, all right, Tyler, we're going to do this. And he was about 3.
Yep.
And I showed him how to use a huge knife that was like bigger than his head.
Yes. And that's like, exactly. I mean, and people are like, and it's interesting to see how he responds to more responsibility. And then if I give him less responsibility, which for some kids, they just like my, and I was like this, I was very low maintenance as a kid. I would just go and be by myself and be fine for hours. Like, it wasn't a big deal. And my oldest is pretty much like that, you know, like he'll find like Legos and he'll play quietly by himself and it's fine. That is like, you know, and I think you understand this as a mom. There are some kids, you know, or maybe both your kids are like this, but there are some kids that if everything's quiet, you're like, oh, good. Like my youngest, if everything's all quiet, I'm it's like, oh no.
Yeah, there's a problem. Exactly.
I can't tell you how many times that's happened.
Yep. So. Something's in the toilet. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. 100%. So we have Fact Finder, Follow Through. What's the third one?
Quick Start. It's green. And this is risk and uncertainty. So down at the 7 through 10 end of the spectrum. Look at you laughing.
Sorry, I'm a person of extremes. These are making sense, but they're also funny. So go ahead.
So someone in this category will mess it up, even though it doesn't need messing. They're like, let's make it different. Let's try. Let's experiment. Let's be last minute. They thrive on pressure. Mm. Real or imagined.
Yeah.
They do really, really well under pressure, and they have a need to experiment and fail and experiment and fail because that's how they learn. So this is where my younger son and I both initiate action, and we need a lot of brainstorming. We have to go through a ton of ideas before we land on one. So me being in this mode, and my husband is constant, before we knew this about each other, he was overwhelmed. Because with everything that was coming out of
questions thing you mentioned.
Yeah. And he was like, yeah. How is this viable? Is this really going to happen? So he would try and make sense of my brainstorm. And when we realized this, he's like, oh my gosh, Gail, not everything that comes out of your mouth is going to be a reality. And when I realized that, I could just let you go. It's like a whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
Someone with this talent like has so many ideas and just needs to get it out. And the more you ask them, how big is it? What else? What's next? Then what would you do? How would you handle that? And they're like, it's like a deflate.
Yeah.
And then at the top end of this talent is a need to stabilize a situation or keep things consistent. No surprise parties for this person. They work very hard to not be surprised. So when someone comes along and wants to change things, they're thinking, why? It's working the way it is. It takes all kinds, right? Yeah. All kinds. Yes.
Oh, that's really cool. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And no, any thoughts or questions about that mode?
I mean, I think I don't want to bore listeners with just examples from my life. It's just so interesting. Is there any, I mean, you've mentioned on your website, you do small business coaching. Mm-hmm. Do you have any, we've talked a lot about family examples. Do you have any examples of how this shows up in the business world?
This talent?
Yes. Opposite, what are some examples of extreme ends of the spectrum here in the business world?
So I guess it depends on which business, because I've estate planning, CPAs, construction. So it varies. I would say the number one thing is if it's a humble owner, mm-hmm. let's just go there right away. Okay. If it's a humble owner, they will realize who they need on their team. And it is
as
people
the opposite.
Yes.
Got it. Yes.
Yeah, so we need to fill in the blanks with people that have different talents than they do to keep the ball rolling. If you have too many people that are the same cognitively, nothing will happen.
Yep. So my wife and I have been very blessed. We're almost complete opposites, honestly.
Good.
And that's why running a business together has worked.
Right.
And even as you're talking about that, like, I mean, if you have a bunch of just experimenters, but nobody keeps things going the same, you're going to have a hard time. Your quality assurance is going to be really poor, right? Your quality control is going to be awful.
Right.
Do certain industries attract certain types?
Of course. Absolutely. Colby is mostly used for business to business. This is very rare that I work with youth. It's rare. It's used for hiring in major corporations more than anything else because you can hire to a number.
Yeah.
So real estate agents usually initiate in Quick Start, generally speaking. Freedom. They need freedom to be in charge of their time. Options. They need a lot of options. And plus, they do not want to be put in a box and told that they have to be here in this place every single day. They need the freedom to do things their way. That's one entity. Business owners, a lot of executives have this talent as well. That's how that shows up. I want to tell you a quick story. My son in this is a great little parenting thing that I learned a long time ago. I asked my kids to go make their bed. And at the time they were in the room together. They were in the same room. Of course, my engineer son does hospital corners and my other son comes and takes the bottom sheet and flips it over the top and he marches out and he puts his hands on his hips and he said, "Mom, I made my bed. Come and see." Of course, I walk back to the room and I see that he just took the cover and threw it up over everything. And he said, "I made my bed my way, just like you taught me." So the question is it important to make the bed or is it important to make the bed my way? Like, what's the point? Do you want the kid to sweep and at three, he's going to make more of a mess than a cleanup? Is the lesson to do it more important or is the way you're doing it more important?
Well, and maybe I'm wrong here, but it does depend on the situation because there are levels of social appropriateness. But honestly, making your bed is a pretty private thing. That's something that you have wiggle room on. Whereas like the going into a conversation, the wearies as a whole have a tendency to enter rooms mouth first. And it's something, you know, that's a gifting where the gift of gab is there, but that's also, there's a social appropriateness where you're like, you know, sometimes dial it back a little bit. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or when you talk about an interview, right? Like people who aren't going to be as, outgoing or as expressive. And I'm not sure what dimension would that. Is that just a personality thing then, or is that
it's
a
affective? Thing? Yeah, that's it. Like extrovert and introvert is affective.
So it does affect. That's interesting. Yeah, even as I was saying it, I was like, wait, that's more personality.
Yeah,
and it's so easy to like go back into that, but it does change.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of some of examples there. That's what are some examples of problem solving and social appropriateness? If that makes sense. So I immediately, you know, like making the bed is not generally going to be a big deal, but is there some other points where you're problem solving? And I have this written down. Part of this is finding, like, you have certain people who become real estate agents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously part of the benefit of this kind of approach is that you find a place where your problem solving skills thrive, but we're always going to find places. And how do you deal with when your problem solving skills are put in a place where, you know what, you just have to do it and it doesn't work. Does that make sense?
Are there
strategies for making it so your problem solving skills do work in that situation? You're just masking it. Or I don't know if I don't know what I'm talking about.
I know what you mean. So let me tell you that my son, Tyler, does not have an appropriateness factor. I mean, he's a two and then he's a one in follow through. So he will come into a room and he has done this and he'll just start talking.
Yes.
Like no matter what is going on, who's having a conversation, he'll just blurt. He may fart. He may burp because he thinks it's funny.
Yep.
Okay. So here's the difference. For me, after I knew how he worked. So this is before the Colby score, I would say, don't you know any better? Like, that is not okay that you do that. You need to. Okay. Life after the Colby score. I pull him aside and I'll say, "Daddy and I or so-and-so are having a conversation. Would you please touch my arm? And then I know you want something. And when I have a minute, I will address you and I'll ask you to contribute," or whatever the case may be. So instead of blaming, shaming, you get it. Now that I know that this isn't natural for him to wait, because there is a score, if he were in the middle or lower, it would be natural. So he has to learn. So it's cognitive. It's a cognitive learning experience of appropriateness, not squelching his natural talent.
Yeah, we have three generations of that one appropriateness score in the weary males. So that is incredibly helpful just there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That makes total sense to me. And so we have Fact Finder, follow through, quick start. This is probably the systems coming out. I'm a little disappointed that quick start doesn't start with an F. I don't know if that's part of the test, but what's the fourth dimension?
It's called implementer. An implementer is a need to get your hands on the environment, to touch, literally touch, tactile, or not. The other end of the spectrum is to envision how something physical is going to go. I'll give you an example, a few of how this plays out in real life. So I grew up with, if you're going to be digging in the dirt, wear gloves.
Okay.
It's the appropriate thing to do, of course. So my son is out there. I know his Colby. He's out there and he is knee deep up to his elbows and he is covered. He could dig a hole in 5 minutes and someone could fall in it and break their neck. He is just an outdoor digger kid. So he's in the dirt and I said, T-Bug, hey, would you like some gloves? And he said, Mom, you know, I need to feel the dirt with my hands.
Yeah.
Before Colby, I would have pushed the gloves.
Yeah.
After Colby, I smile and close the door and love that he's in his lane.
Yep. Yeah. And that's it's not an excuse for bad behavior, but it's also understanding how it's just a difference in how they're approaching things, and it's a learning experience. And actually, it helps more with, if I'm following you, it helps more with correcting moral behavior, because then you actually can address real moral problems rather than just like some kind of just difference in problem solving.
Yes. Good observation and good awareness of the differences, for sure. So one of our 5 store rules growing up was don't touch the stuff. Don't touch the stuff. Like, we had 5 store rules when the kids were little, but little did I know at the time that my son has a need to touch everything. So now
it's torture for him. Yeah.
I've made a naughty child out of his conative strength, right?
Right.
So if I would have known that, I would have given him a rabbit's foot or something appropriate to play with while we're in the Waterford crystal, whatever it is.
Right, right.
So, and circle time, where you're supposed to sit with your legs crossed and your hands to yourself, forget it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Yep.
So he has a definite need, and that's why he's welding.
Yes.
Because you're born with it, and that's part of what he's going to do for a career.
Yeah. That is awesome. I mean, this is so helpful as a parent. And, you know, it's interesting, and I did want to ask you this, because it brings us back to our main question, preparing and creating a better future generation. Why, obviously this is normally used by corporations. Why, what is your heart and what inspired you to take this specifically for kids? Like, obviously you do the other stuff too, but like, it's obvious that this is something particularly important for you.
It's important to me because most of the teachers initiate in, or they are long in the red, long in the blue, short in yellow, and you can say short in green. That's half the students. The other half of the students aren't like that. And it doesn't mean they're not smart.
Right.
They're brilliant. And I think that ADD and ADHD are overdiagnosed completely. So my heart is in saving those kids at the beginning, telling them that they have a purpose. There's a plan. They are designed flawlessly for a reason. And to give them the confidence to articulate that on the front end and ask for the need to stand up in the back of the room, respectfully request that they can fix the desks or the clocks or the light bulbs when they go out. Know your strengths and use them respectfully. That's my heart.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that, because even as you look at these 4, I am very high in follow through. And I used to be a teacher. I'm very low in quick start. And I ran into a lot of problems with, like, I didn't care if kids were messing around in class. I was like, if they want to learn, they want to learn. And it was a real pain point for me to try and force rigidity and stability, if I'm tracking correctly. I assume that's important for teachers, right? Like,
yes,
because
you're so
they're
right.
Like your classroom management, like you're obviously a good teacher in terms of actual teaching, but your classroom management's terrible. And I'm like, I just don't care. Like it doesn't matter to me. And, I found very much a lot of the, what you're saying resonates with me. And it's part of the reason I homeschool my kids is because there's a lot, school works for very specific kids. And there's a lot of kids. I mean, even that's my youngest, my oldest, loves the routine. Like we've sent him to preschool. He loved that. He's doing well with homeschooling, but my youngest, that's where Montessori and stuff can come in for someone like him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a real, important, it's a very important need. And, I just really appreciate that. I appreciate your passion for it.
Thank you. Thank you, PJ.
So, and how is this, I mean, you've mentioned it over and over again. How has this helped your own journey as a parent? Well, if you could sum that up, because we've gotten a lot of examples, but do you have like some summary statements that could even help us grasp?
We agreed before we had kids that we wanted to raise contributors to the world.
Love that.
I don't believe you can have a passive contributor. Being able to allow
that's
that child.
Kind of, sorry, that's
go ahead.
Literally, when you say passive contributor, yeah, that's an oxymoron, right?
Like, it is.
Contributing is an active thing. Sorry, that's just, yeah, that makes total sense.
That's why I said that. Because
Right. No, I know. Yeah, yeah. Okay, sorry. That makes total sense.
No. You're right. I mean, you have to be an active contributor to the world.
Yes.
I believe, and I've seen it with my own eyes, that when adults tell kids how to do something over time at about third grade, the light will go out because they'll start listening to that way of doing things and they have no idea if it's with or against them, for or against them.
Yeah.
Kids are capable. Kids are completely capable. When you find out how they work and go with the grain, they will be contributors because they will take responsibility for their actions because they're creating their actions.
Yeah.
You're allowing them to create their actions and therefore deal with the consequences. Age-appropriate decisions throughout life. There's nothing wrong with that and everything right. Because when something happens, like there's a trial and error, if my son comes home and he decides not to do his homework, and I've gone toe to toe with parents on this, this is a sticking point. He decides that he's going to take a 10% ding on a grade not to do his homework. I think that's a fantastic decision because it's his decision and he has to deal with the consequences. Now, as a parent, I have to be ready and willing for him to repeat any grade necessary at all. And I have no problem with that. But the kids, your kids are capable. Allow them to make decisions and they will deal with their consequences over time.